Birds are declining dangerously. Not all species, of course. Urban and suburban populations of Canada geese are higher than is good for us humans or the geese themselves. The same is true with regard to turkeys. Ironically, in both these cases, overpopulation is not just due to human-altered habitat changes that are helpful to these species to the detriment of others, but also due to the fact that a great many states' natural resources departments reintroduced, or introduced in the first place, geese and turkeys for the benefit of sports hunters, despite knowing how harmful that has been with regard to augmenting populations of white-tailed deer and feral hogs to please hunters. Over the years, lots of hunters have told me that if you want to protect an endangered species, all you need to do is make it a game species because hunters ensure that the species they hunt for sport are properly managed. But all you need to do is look at bobwhite quail and sage and prairie grouses to see that that's entirely wrong. Those game species are all dangerously declining. But finally, virtually all ornithologists, conservation biologists, and others agree that the magnitude of loss of so many birds of so many species is not sustainable. Some of this is clearly due to habitat loss, but that makes it sound like a simple matter of using better management on public lands. We're losing a lot on that front as states and the federal government cut back on spending for knowledgeable and effective wildlife managers and on protecting public lands themselves. Back several administrations ago, money for duck stamps started covering the cost of temporarily leasing habitat rather than purchasing it outright, enriching landowners until they could find more lucrative, often environmentally destructive, uses for that land. Now just about all duck stamp funding is used for temporary leases, not outright purchasing quality habitat for our children and our children's children. When small landowners ran America's farms, they learned farming techniques to minimize or prevent erosion and also learned to leave hedgerows where they couldn't plow or harvest anyway. Some individual farmers flagged at least some bird nests so they wouldn't mow them down. But we've lost a lot of birds that farmers used to enjoy. Meadowlarks, bobolinks, harriers, and short-eared owls have dwindled as mowing schedules advance earlier and earlier into the nesting season, and farm cats have always taken a toll on songbirds as well as the rodents the cats ostensibly help control. Outside the major tracts of public and agricultural lands, we're eating up habitats so more and more people can live away from more and more people. Thoreau wrote, "In wildness is the preservation of the world." That is absolutely true, and it's equally true that in cities is the preservation of wildness. As our own species numbers mushroom, we need more, not fewer, people concentrated in cities to save what's left of wild areas. That, of course, requires us to support every effort to make cities livable for everyone. When I started doing my breeding bird survey route in the 1980s, much of it was along old logging roads with no houses anywhere near and no traffic. But more and more of that was bought up for people who want to live out of town and don't mind commuting 10 miles to Two Harbors or 30 miles to Duluth each day. I used to think people who moved to the woods relished the forest habitat, but a great many of the houses that have cropped up along formerly forested areas of my survey routes have large swaths of lawn and are planted with exotic ornamentals rather than native trees and shrubs. And people with yards and gardens use more pesticides per acre than farmers do. Pesticides have led to enormous losses of beneficial insects and to the birds that depend on them. Given all the problems birds are facing, and I haven't yet touched on climate change, which is already leading to enormous losses and promises to get even worse, you'd think there was no hope of making things better. But there is. In coming days, I'll talk about what we can and must do individually and collectively. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.